Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast, and I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right. Congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 10 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com and History FM. You've helped a lot of people through the years, Sophia. Congratulations. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 to speak with the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, here on liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com. So yes, that's just added here to the site as well. So you can listen at both places, ghosthunting.com and liveparanormal, and with our guests too as well. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room too as well. It only takes a second to get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. We'll be posting our guest links throughout the show on the live feed there and also if you have any questions for our guests, make sure they're all capped so we can distinguish from the chatter going on in the chat room too. As today, we welcome two incredible renowned psychic medium and remote viewers Harvey Althaus and Mary Marshall. As an intuitive remote viewer, Harvey was featured on the Ghostly Voices episode of Discovery Channel The Haunting, Spirit Phone Call episode of My Ghost Story Caught on Camera, and the Netflix original series Haunted. Mary is a psychic medium, remote viewer, lecturer, paranormal educator, paranormal investigator of over 20 years, is the author of Continuum, available at Barnes Noble and also on Amazon.com, and featured on several documentaries, including Finding Jay and The Shadow Dimensions. For Harvey and Mary's officials, visit theparanormalmd.com, hit like medical doctor. So theparanormalmd.com, mediummarymarshall.com, at Harvey Althaus, and YouTube search too for Harvey, just YouTube search Harvey Althaus. Both Harvey and Mary will be promoting the upcoming virtual psychic paranormal medium gallery event coming up Saturday, June 4th. That's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK. For information and tickets for this special two-hour virtual event, visit paranormalprotagonist.com. Actually, just go there and follow along, too, as well. paranormalprotagonist.com for the event tickets. Upcoming, we have Horsefly Chronicles radio hosts, paranormal investigators Phil and Julia Siracusa. They're returning to the program on the 14th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We have some great guests that are booking their dates as we speak. Also, check out the membership packages on LiveParanormal and GhostHunting.com. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding audience members. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great at the giveaways here on Live Paranormal. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, be on the screen in Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here at Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's here monthly Mondays on LiveParanormal.com, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more on this very network. Archive shows, if you miss anything, need to toggle back, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of LiveParanormal.com. And let's bring her in here, too, also at GhostHunting.com. That's right, we're promoting that as well. Sophia, congratulations on over a decade here on Live Paranormal.
Thank you. I can't believe it's been almost 11 years.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job, Sophia. Great work through the years. You got all these things. You got the Instagram. You got all these Twitters, things out there. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name's too long.
Yeah, I know. We cursed you with a really long name. Sorry about that, Sophia. So just drop an L, basically, in the last name, and you can find Sophia. Well, Sophia, tell us about your guest.
Today we welcome two renowned psychic mediums, Harvey Althaus and Mary Marshall. As an intuitive remote viewer, Harvey was featured on the Ghostly Voices episode of A Haunting in the Netflix original series Haunted. Mary, as a psychic medium, remote viewer, lecturer, and paranormal investigator of over 20 years, is the author of Continuum, available on Amazon. Both Harvey and Mary will be promoting the upcoming virtual psychic medium gallery Saturday, June 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK. For more information and for tickets for this special two-hour virtual event, visit paranormalprotagonist.com. Let's welcome them into the show.
And I'm interested to learn how they do that remote view, and especially virtually and with attendees and everything. So, okay, they're getting unmuted. Harvey, you're unmuted as well as Mary. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, thank you both so much for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Well, I mean, to start off, do you each want to tell us a little bit about what got you started in the paranormal and how you kind of discovered you had abilities?
Sure. Mary, go ahead.
Mine is probably less complicated than yours, Harvey. right. I think for me, what really, and it's interesting because I hadn't talked about it for a long time after I was in the field, I really got into the field because of having psychic medium abilities and wanted to privately test them out. Like, what would happen if it wasn't just sitting in my home or, you know, out at the mall, if I'm in a haunted location? And that was part of it, and obviously the whole fascination with it, with the whole topic matter, and that got me started. And once I got started, it just kind of took on a life of its own, and the interest kept growing, and I started looking more to the sciences as to how the phenomena was happening rather than trying to prove it happening. It was like, we know it's happening. How is this possible? So that's pretty much my start into the paranormal in general.
And how about you, Harvey?
Well, Mary, that was great. I just learned something new about you, a couple of things. And I've known you for how long?
Right.
So, okay. My story started when I was about four. Growing up in the Midwest, living in, you know, old homes, it is kind of ironic that my last name translated from German, which is Althaus, means old house in English. So it just seems like every home I've been associated with or lived in, or it's always reflected my last name. And unfortunately, they had extra people living, you know, or, you know, spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call them, living rent-free, you know, running amok, badgering me, but nobody else in my family. You know, and like I said, this stuff started happening to me when I was around four. I grew up in a very tight Christian household, Lutheran, and my mother, my biological mother, she was, well, lack of a better term, hell-bent on, you know, driving the demons from me. Obviously, she knew that something was going on with me. You know, and as a young person, I was afraid and scared to death of all that I was witnessing, and all, but nobody else. I mean, I could be in a room, you know, with her, and something's in back of her, and she has, you know, she was not aware of it, you know, and of course, I was either psychotic or, in her opinion, I probably was being hounded by a demon, and she would go out of her way to not only morally knock it out of me, but physically knock it out of me while quoting scriptures from the Bible as she was hitting me with the Bible. Okay. But I think what happened was, is that instead of driving me away from it, it drove me towards it, you know, because, she died in 1972, just unexpectedly. That whole story, can be witnessed on Netflix Haunted, season 1, episode 4, Children of the Well, if anybody's interested. You'll get a snapshot from the years 1967 up to 1972 when my mother was still alive, and you'll get kind of a picture of what I had to put up with, you know, for your own leisure if you want to do that kind of research. But, and after serving in the Navy, all this, you know, oh God, it's just so much. You have like 50 years to listen to me. so anyway, it's been around me for as long as I've been around. Let's put it that way, you know, and the more I've been pushed towards it, exploring it. I mean, I started really investigating way before it was ever cool on TV. I was about 16, 17 years of age. You know, had a little Casio tape recorder and Kodak 110 pocket camera, and that's what I had, you know, and having oodles of abandoned old farm homes and old prairie cemeteries and, you know, to crawl and creep through, you know, back in my home state at my leisure. Yeah, and captured some weird things I couldn't explain, and it just intrigued me so much, and it's just stayed with me, you know. And the older I've become, the more stronger, I guess, you know, the sensitivities, you know, as far as the paranormal is concerned, being it from, I never considered myself, you guys know, I mean, I've told you this for years, as long as I've known you, I've never considered myself a medium, you know, but through all these readings I've done most of my life, you know, on occasion, if the spirit's willing, you know, communication, I give information from a past loved one to my client. It doesn't mean anything to me, but it means everything to them, you know. So it's just been lifelong, and I don't see it ending anytime soon. So that's about as nutshell as I can make it.
I'm going to interject for a minute because something that you don't know, Harvey, is that I recommend people check out that Netflix episode. This is where I'm going with it, because you and I were already friends for I don't even know how long before I always do this. I do it backwards. I become friends with a person and then find out more about them, like, you know, what's out there publicly. And then went and watched that episode and was like, holy shnikes, like, what the? I didn't know any of this about you.
Well,
so it is a very telling episode.
You know, that's just a small snapshot. That's like the head of the needle, you know, so to speak, head of the pen, so to speak. You know, there's so much more. I mean, volumes more. But it's just I go day by day and just keep adding to it, I guess. But if anything, that I think, you know, and just to piggyback on what Mary was saying, I think for me personally, by me doing that Netflix, you know, has allowed me to get rid of some of that pent-up angst that I've carried with me all these years regarding that time in my life. It's been, I think, very therapeutic, you know, for me. But what's weird is after that episode aired, for months, people were calling me from, you name the corner, and they were like, they could empathize, you know, they've had something similar, or I'm not saying everybody, some just wanted to give me a hug, you know, and they apologized for my mother. But I've had so many people say, you know what, not exactly, but I feel you, because that brought back all these memories of when I was a kid, what I was going through. And I think what it did was it helped them release some of that personal angst as well, because he said after watching this and seeing that they weren't the only ones, they felt better. You know, so I guess it was fate that that story came out at the time it did.
Definitely. You know, I'm very sorry that you went through, you know, all of that trauma when you were younger, but I'm very happy that you were able to overcome it and become, you know, the amazing psychic you are today. You know, you've picked up some pretty incredible stuff, you know, calling my mom while she's laying in a hospital bed, worried about her, not knowing she had just gotten, you know, a full hysterectomy to remove uterine cancer. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Nope. Something just said, I was going home from work one day, and something said, oh, I need to call Shirley. Don't know why, but I'm going to call her. And I caught her in the hospital.
Yeah, she had sent us home, my dad and I, and she was just trying to rest, and then she gives us a call, and she goes, you won't believe who just called me, and we're like, who? And she's like, Harvey. He said he felt like he had to call me, and we're like, oh, my God.
Listen, I
can't
felt,
keep anything
you know, look,
from a psychic.
Right, so like I've said, you guys know this. John, you know this. Sophie, you know this. Shirley, you know this. Mary even knows this. When I connect with somebody on whatever energy level that I connect with, it stays with me. And at times when people, not even, they didn't even have to think of me, but it's like, I'm not comparing myself to a spider with a gigantic web, but that's what I feel like. You know, it's like I get the pulse of something and I have to address it right then and there. And the thing is that this particular thread led directly to your mother, you know, and I figured, what's it going to hurt? Just give her a call. Maybe it's just to say, hey. But then, you know, what your mother was just recuperating from. So, that was weird.
That was incredible. And, you know, speaking of friendships, too, how did you and Mary initially meet and, you know, kind of get on the topic of paranormal? Was it already a paranormal situation?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mary. You tell this one.
if I'm correct, and I think this is it, this is terrible that I don't remember exactly anymore, but, you know, you talk to people and you kind of lose track of, like, what was,
yep.
was this the beginning?
Yeah.
I believe at the time I had my own radio show going on. And somewhere I just came across Harvey, probably on Facebook or something, or LinkedIn. I don't even know. And that just really started it. I saw what he was doing, and I just, I think that's how we started. And then from there, it just kind of grew. Is that correct, Harvey?
Yeah, pretty much. And there was a specific reason why you called. You know, and because you wanted to be on my show is because, you know, you had been very fascinated with remote viewing. And, you had told me that that you had always had thought of, you know, of having somebody on your show because you know, the Paranormal MD was everything paranormal, more or less. But you said you never had or knew of anybody that did remote viewing. So when you ran across me, and I think it was on Facebook, I really do, you saw what I did, and you contacted me, and I don't know, we talked maybe 15 minutes. You said, I'd like to have you on my show. You know, so I said, okay. But it has been, but this is, it's been a long time, you know, and Mary and I, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I always think it's fascinating that what brings people together and some of the reasons, because at the time, I was not publicly voicing my own abilities. And for not as in severe and terrible experiences that Harvey went through, but because of family, because of their religious beliefs and so on, and those types, you know, you hear the story over and over so many times.
Yep.
I tended to keep trying to push it away, push it down, push it away. But I've always had that interest because of having the abilities in the topic matter. So I was very fascinated by the remote viewing. And you have actually been one of the people who encouraged me to, you know, hey, just continue, you know, pursuing this.
And even when
I'm first doing it, it's the two sides of my brain, you know, that right and left side, where the one side's going like, what? How is this possible, you know? Even if I know all the spiritual and the metaphysical and parasite, you know, the psychological reasons of why this may be possible, it still is a fascinating process to go through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, you were, you're right. I should have, yeah, exactly. It was more the remote viewing at the time. And we've talked about it since, you know, where some things I've now experienced where I was like, this is just crazy. Wow, you know. And that anybody can really do that. It's really a training, and you find that all the, you know, the government programs and Russell Targ and all these programs that are, you know, that have been out there that
Stargate,
promote
yep.
The remote viewing.
Right. And I never had any training.
An amazing ability to have.
Well, it is, but it's also a curse sometimes. And let me explain. Everybody would think that if somebody who could see remotely without having to leave their house, you know, distances from here to outer space or further, you know, but you think they, you know, the police missing people, that'd be an advantage, you know, and then we wouldn't have these missing people, or we'd get, you know, get closure for families. But it doesn't work like that for me. And let me give you an example. About 15 years ago now, maybe closer to 16 or 17, in Morgan Hill, which is south of me about an hour by the Bay Area, here in California, there is a 15-year-old girl. Her name was Sierra Lamar. She was abducted at a bus stop, you know, waiting to go to school. And she was only four blocks from her house. She ended up missing about a week or two after she had been missing. You know, it made national news and all that stuff. I was contacted by the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department, and they were desperate, you know, going after any lead that could lead them someplace. And they had somebody in the Sheriff's Department that heard about what I do. So they called me, and I did not know that they were out in the field that very moment. And I was talking to the sheriff, and he was telling me, you know, he introduced who he was and you know, what he was calling for. And he said, look, he said, we're just chasing down possible leads. And if there's anything at all that you could do to help us, we'd really appreciate it, you know. But so he asked me a couple things, and right then and there, and I started picking up this field, you know, just being outside in a field of freshly, you know, it looked like possible hay or straw, but it had been cut recently because it was more or less stubble. And I said, it looked like it was about 20, maybe 30 acres. And I feel that for some reason, I feel that you need to be about maybe 100 feet out into it. And, you know, I'm looking, it's weird because I can see directions. I look to the east, I look to the west. And when I look to the west, I can see the hills of, you know, the coastal mountains. And I said, it looks like there's a road, a raised road above this field. And I said, for some reason, I see, you know, I see, you know, telephone wires and poles, you know, there's like eight or nine of them that goes the width of the, you know, on the street, you know, the width of the field. And I said, there's what should have been or might be or is a white pickup truck. Looks like a Ford, looks like a super cab. It has black rims for the, you know, for the wheels, and it's white, and it's got very dark tinted windows, and I see pipes in the back. And that guy, he goes, where are you right now? I said, I'm in my you know, South City, you know, my home. And he says, I said, I hope you're, sir, are you lying to me? I said, no, this is where I am. You know, you called me. This is my home phone. And he goes, well, I happen to be standing in a field right now, and it was freshly mowed hay, and it was about 30 acres. He was approximately, he was about 100 feet into it, and he was looking west when I was talking to him, and there was a pickup truck, a white Ford super cab pickup truck. It was a field hands truck. They were putting in irrigation sprinkler pipes as I was speaking to him.
Wow.
You know, yeah, wow. So anyways, there was another gentleman, you know, he's just like, you know, they thought I was, I don't know what they thought I was doing, but they wanted to make sure that I was not lying and that I'm not there. You know, anyways, there's another gentleman asked me to, you know, asked to talk to me, and he was from the local FBI. And he said, well, I said, you're really good. And he said, what am I holding in my hand? I said, I don't know. Looks like a bag. And he goes, what kind of bag? I said, I don't know. It looks like a, more or less like a purse, you know, but big. And he goes, what's in it? And I said, I don't know. They look like folded up clothes. And he just about, he goes, hey, where are you? I'm like, I'm telling you where I'm at. Well, he said, I'm going to have to do a follow-up call with you, because he was holding in his hand a bag. It was a woman's purse, large purse. I didn't get the color, but it was kind of an olive green, you know, nothing too fancy about it. And there was folded up clothes inside of it. Yeah.
Wow.
And it happened to, be, they found out later, I found out a week later that it belonged to Sarah Lamar. You know, it was her clothing.
That's
so what
amazing.
What she did. Yeah. So anyways, but then I had a few other substance call, you know, called, had to talk to them again. I mean, they never came here physically, but it was just all through the phone. You know, just want to make sure that, you know, mm-hmm. this is, yeah, I had nothing to do with it, you know, because for somebody to, that has nothing to do with it, knows that much, you know, and I'm trying to explain to them, I don't know how I can do this, but this is happening. But anyways, so they asked me about a week later to look even further, but I couldn't because I kept getting nauseous and I kept getting a splitting headache, you know? So ever since then, mm-hmm. I don't do it because it's emotionally and physically draining mm-hmm. on me. You know, now I can help you find some lost car keys on occasion, and I've done that.
I've helped
people.
Good skill, though.
I found people. You know, people lost their TV remote. I found that for them. You know, just little things like that. I guess inanimate things. You know, but I even had a person lost a wedding ring one time, and they found it. You know, it was outdoors and somehow it flung off the finger. And anyways, I gave them the general direction to look, but you know, they found it a few months later in the general direction, you know, where I told them to look, you know, but anyways, it's just stuff like that. And does it work all the time like that? No, it doesn't. I mean, I'll admit, you know, I've been wrong, you know, just wrong. But, go ahead.
And I think for people like listening to this is that, at least in my opinion, there's a fine line between remote viewing and psychic abilities.
Right.
Okay, they're really kind of the same, but yet it is a different process. And
right.
I know for me, when I started it, it helped to try to separate it and go for initially in your remote viewing, as you know, Harvey, of just the basics and
right.
writing down, you know, colors,
yep.
texture,
yep.
lines,
feelings.
Does
yep.
it have a
mm-hmm.
feeling, smell, you know,
right.
that type of thing. And just answering it and not trying to answer what is it that I'm looking
right.
at. By,
right.
you know, by kind of removing, doing that fine line of removal. And that was
right.
an important process for me because
right.
of having to, you know, to deal with it. And I know when I had originally I had started doing some missing cases for children. And all I got to say is God bless or just thank you to the people who do this because
yes.
it was so difficult for me. I emotionally, because you're feeling like I would feel an explosion in my, you know, chest, and it was because
right.
somebody had gotten shot or
Absolutely.
Those things, and very frustrating because these, especially, you know, anybody that's missing, and then obviously for all of us, we tend to, like the children, even feel more, that it was so frustrating
right.
to me when I couldn't get something more or something more specific. And I stopped doing that for a very long time. And I rarely will do a missing person case now as a result of that. I tend to use it more for me, I was working with a gentleman out of the UK. He's recently passed, but it was a documentary. It was a World War II. So it was kind of having a whole completely, not different approach, but, you know, just feeling over it because of what I was trying to do and what I was locating or, you
right.
know, pieces and images and whatnot. And it was a whole different experience than trying to deal with missing person cases.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine very tolling to even, you know, go through that and experience it. I don't know how investigators do it just as a normal day-to-day job, but, you know, feeling something so powerfully
right.
the way psychics do is, you know, on another level of intense, because you sometimes can feel the emotions or, you know, the just whatever happened to them. And that is very next level and, you know, very scary.
You know, that's a really good point you just brought up. It's like the people, the investigators and that are dealing with this on a daily basis. Wow. I can't imagine what they go through. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I took a forensics class in high school, and they had a detective come in and show pictures of dead bodies. I was one of the few kids to leave. There was two, me and someone else. And I don't know how people in my class went through it. I asked my friend at the time, I was like, why were you okay with that? And she was like, well, it isn't me. And I don't know how people do that. I can't do it.
Wait, she said it is. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
so I guess
I understand
that
point.
Kind of has to be the mindset.
Wow.
It's not someone they know, and they have to look at it objectively and, you know, without emotion.
Right.
I think it's got to change you too as a person,
mm-hmm.
Because you have to, I mean, otherwise I don't know how you could, you know, just mentally, emotionally survive a job like that. You have to learn how to somehow remove yourself. And then that has got to it's still going to be somewhat haunting, but yet you still have to try to remove it. How does that affect you in other aspects of your life? I mean, it's got to be pretty a lot
right,
to deal
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions and to talk about your upcoming event.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And this is what an example is of a show that flies by when you have great guests. Today, as we mentioned, we welcome two incredible, renowned psychic mediums and remote viewers, Harvey Althaus and Mary Marshall. For Harvey and Mary's officials, visit theparanormalmd.com, mediummarymarshall.com, at Harvey Althaus, and YouTube, search Harvey Althaus. And just quickly about the event Harvey and Mary, it's upcoming, the Virtual Psychic Medium Gallery. It's going to be Saturday, June 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK. For information and tickets for this two-hour special, it's going to be ParanormalProtagonist.com, ParanormalProtagonist.com for all the details. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back with a late edition.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is psychic medium Erica Bucciarini, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Stay parafabulous.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring everybody back into the studio here. And as I'm unmuting, I'll start with Mary because Harvey knows us pretty well. Mary and Harvey, is there something during the show, maybe Sophia's voice, is there something you tell about her direction or anything of that type?
Oh, yes.
I missed the question. I didn't hear it.
Is there something that you sense or feel just kind of talking to Sophia for the first time, something about like her direction or anything you pick up on her?
Well, Harvey, you go first. You're Mr. Speedy.
Yeah, Mr. Speedy. My wife would beg to differ you on that. I don't mean that in a punny way either. So, Sophia, I've known her ever since she was about, what, 12? Maybe 14?
I
can't remember
how
old she was
like
when I met her.
13, maybe?
Yeah, at the Graber Olive Farm there in Ontario, you know, during one of the first paranormal conferences that they had there. Because I was literally right across the sidewalk from you guys, literally, you know, because we were sharing booth space. And I did a couple readings and something drew me to you, Sophia, you know, and I think I started talking and I just saw the visions of you just not only doing this, but, you know, in your beyond, you know, being, what did I call it? The next it girl. Okay. And I mean, IT, you know, as a trendsetter. Okay. And, you know, because even though that you were so young, you were so focused in this field. It was incredible. I mean, the energy that you had then for it and what you have now, you know, still, and like I said, it's been over, what, 10 years that you've been doing this, going on 11?
Yeah.
Steadfastly, you know, every single week for all that time. You know, it breaks occasionally. I get that because everybody needs them. But, Sophia, I know we've been through, you know, I've been telling you since I've known you that I see much bigger things in the paranormal for you, you know, much bigger, you know. And I know some of the ups and downs, and you've had some very closeness, you know, with that success, you know. And then it's been up and down, but I still – I mean, even now, I mean, I still feel that. And I know it's not just me. You know, it's other people who I know that it's pretty much told you the same thing. You know, here we are. We're thousands of miles apart, you're these different people, but yet we all pretty much feel the same thing about you and your direction. And I still feel that at some point now that you're old enough, you know, you know what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
So I still feel that, you know, your time, you know, to shine is definitely still coming, you know, and I feel it's going to, you know, it's going to not necessarily come out of the blue or come, but I do feel that it's a past contact, you know, it's just going to say, hey, we're ready if you're ready, you know. So, I feel that, you know, because the timing is right. I mean, John and Sophia, look at what happened with Destination Fear, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That should be you. I'm just saying. But your time's still coming. That's what I see for you.
Well, I thank you for all your support through the years, too.
Sophia, how old were you when you started this show? Because you look so young.
I was 12 when I started my radio show, but I've been an investigator since I was 8.
That's crazy. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, Mary. I forgot to mention that to you.
This is awesome. I just pulled up. I'm sitting at my computer the laptop, and I'm looking at the photo, and I'm like, well, and then figure the camera, she had to be like 13 when she started this thing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah. So I'm going to jump in because I blend up. I'm a writer. I write down because I have a horrible memory, but also because I think, you know, other side kind of pops in on things. But the first thing I wrote down was coming up and changes. And there's just going to be some changes, and it's going to be, some of them are going to be this year, but it's going to start navigating you to the place that Harvey is probably referring to as well. And that it is almost, I initially had picked up like really towards more the end of the year, but this really could be even like in September, I'll say, but we'll just say the last quarter, you know, towards the end of the year, of there's going to be a significant change and opportunity. And that this, I don't know how to quite describe this. And because of the choice of words, going to be like, what? When I say like empire. But what I mean is that I'm seeing it's more than one venue where things are going to start, like something's going to happen that's going to help kick this off, but it is going to be like there's multimedia aspects to what you're going to be doing. I don't know what you do, if there's anything else that you do besides this now, but it's almost and here's the thing, part of this is, I think, to be quite honest, is that combination of you are hitting a prime age, you're very marketable, and so it's this whole kind of social media aspect that's going to play into that as well. Because I was like, wrote social media manager, like I don't know if you have one, but you should, you're going to if you don't, you know, that type of thing. But it's going to be multimedia, so just keep doing it. I'm in awe of you, so I think it's wonderful that you have stuck with it this long from that age. Is an amazing, right? The commitment to it, to the passion you obviously feel for it all.
Definitely. And, you know, thank you both, too, you know, for coming on today. And everyone, if you liked what you just heard from Mary and Harvey, well, you're definitely going to love their upcoming event. So, Harvey and Mary, can you please tell everyone about it? I know we're supposed to talk about it more, but, you know, it's always so great, you know, getting to talk with both of you, and the hour flies by.
Yep. So, go ahead, Mary.
Well, I'll just, you know, what I'll do a little bit, and then you can follow up, which is just that, you know, we have known each other, and we're trying to, you know, in all honesty, to get together initially for in-person type of gallery event. But we're almost, I'm in the Midwest, he's on the West Coast. It logistics and all that just become difficult. And then with the way the world has changed over the last few years with the use of virtual and Zoom and all the meet, you know, everything like that, you know, Harvey just came back and says, you know, hey, we're having a hard, you know, difficult time with this part. Why don't we just do a virtual gallery? And I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is where everything is at anyway. I was one of those early on. I kind of dragged my heels on it, but now, you know, I'm like all for it. I do my classes Zoom. I teach the class. Everything I do is on Zoom now.
Right.
We're just really excited to kind of be able to try to work together to get, you know, to put this out there for people. And they can be anywhere. They could, you know, if you're in the UK, you're West Coast, East Coast of the States, what, it doesn't matter. And this makes it accessible for everybody. So this is, you know, besides just working with Harvey, is exciting to me for that reason.
Yeah.
And Harvey.
So,
definitely.
So, yeah, and pretty much how it's going to work is this. You know, let's face it. You know, the Chip Coffees of the world, the Darren Browns, the, you know, whoever. You know, when they pack those stadiums, you know, they're 200-plus people. and only just very few people actually get a reading. I mean, but it's the energy that people go in there, you know, and they just more or less, even if all they are just an observer, you know, watching what's going on, they still take something away, you know, from the program that they're watching. Now, on this intimate, right. you know, the Zoom thing that we're going to be doing is we'll have much less people. But the effect yeah. of people will educate them. And hopefully we're going to try to connect with, you know, as many people as possible, you know, and, you know, they'll be shorter readings. But what I really intrigued, well, actually, let me slow down. My head's racing. What intrigued me about doing this with Mary when she first approached me about this, you know, I had been thinking about, and I had been asked by other psychics too, to do kind of like a tandem, you know, reading for people. And I've done it before, you know, with my buddy Rick Wade, and it worked pretty well. But I just was like, you know what? I'm just wondering if a male energy combined with a female energy, you know, doing this would work better.
You know, that's a good point, because I've done tandem, yeah. but it's been with other females. I've never done a tandem with a male.
Right. With that being said, you know, and we're going to be doing whatever the readings that they want, but I have a feeling, Mary, and I'm just saying this to you right now, live on air with everybody, I'm just wondering if it's a combination between the male and the female energy in the room working in tandem will allow more spirits to come forward. You know, they might be a little bit more, if it's a female one, they might be a little more, you know, comfortable acting with you, and vice versa, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So it's going to be an experiment, you know, you know, for what people are going, you know, or what they're going to do is, hopefully it's going to give them a newer perspective as to the, you know, as to the whole psychic world, or, I mean, we're not asking anybody, you know, we're not asking anybody to change religions or anything. It's, you know, that's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I feel this is going to do, this is going to open up their minds a tad bit, you know, to the possibilities of a lot of stuff that is still just unknown. And to Mary's point, when she was talking about, you know, like she says, she teaches this stuff, you know, and she went more the science route, but there is no scientific explanation as to why any of this stuff, what I do, what she does, what any psychic, you know, has the ability to do, why it works or how it works,
but
or where does that come from?
It is the most studied. But it is the most studied scientifically, and the reason, and I mean like truly scientifically, using the scientific method, because most phenomena is random. You can't, you know, it's like trying to put lightning in a bottle. But you can take a psychic medium and put them in a lab and repeat the process, you know, experiment exactly as it should be over and over. And so So it is one of the most studied and documented phenomena, believe it or not, with all the ghost shows out there. But psychic mediumship is really the most scientifically studied.
Right. And just the, you know, sidebar, you know, back in the 1850s, spiritualism or the spiritualist movement started with the Fox sisters right here, and you know, right here in the U.S. of A.
Gosh, I must be psychic, Harvey. I knew you were gonna. I don't know why, but I'm like, I knew you were gonna say this for some odd reason.
So I just want to give people a history about it. You know, why it's so prevalent even to this day. Maybe not as much, but it started here with the Fox sisters. They lived in New England, rural New England. And they had this knack of, you know, first they thought their house was haunted, and then they communicate with them, and they become national sensations, and then people want to come talk to them. They can talk to dead, and, you know, people want to hear from their past loved ones. But who really took it forward was the British over in England. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, the famous playwright who wrote Sherlock Holmes, you know, series. He really took it to heart, him and his wife. His wife was... I can't remember her name. Last name's Doyle, obviously, but she was huge in the spiritualist movement over there. And to this day, they still have spiritualist churches. you know, you go in and it's not a preacher. It's whoever feels moved by spirit to communicate is the ones that will conduct the services, you know. But like I always say, kiddingly, I always say, well, if the spirit's willing, you know, they might contact. Not that it happens all the time, you know, but if it presses, like sometimes it'll bother me so much, I'll just stop my regular reading and say, you know what, I don't know where this is coming from, but I have to say this or I have to mention that. And they're like, oh, my God, that's my grandfather. You know, it means nothing to me, but it means everything to my client, you know. So, you know, but I feel, though, that this combination with Mary and myself, even though that we're, you know, distance, you know, see, to me, it doesn't matter distance-wise. You know, it never has. You know, I have this remote viewing, whatever you want to call it, but I somehow can connect with that person no matter where they're at. You know, and it's kind of like they become my antenna. I'm the radio wave, and I'm searching for that antenna, and I grab it, you know, and then it sucks me into the environment where they're at. That's why I can, you know, describe things. It must be because I'm seeing through their eyes. I don't know. I know that sounds weird, but that's how it works for me. But as far as you
it just
know,
sounds creepy, Harvey. It just sounds creepy. Looking
well,
through people's eyes.
Well, there's going to be a hard close to the show. It's the virtual psychic medium gallery. It's going to be Saturday, June 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern, and a 2-hour event. And will you guys be remote viewing too as well?
You know, whatever you know happens. If somebody has a need for that, you know, I don't see why not.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I
agree
the
site
with that.
Is a paranormal. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, the website for all the information, tickets, paranormalprotagonist.com. That's paranormalprotagonist.com. Yeah, it's going to be amazing, guys.
Yeah. Well, I hope, you know, whoever can make it.
I'm going to add in, when you get there, go to the events page on there because that will be helpful for people. Let's go to the events lecture psychic gallery read. Click on that. You go down, and then, of course, you'll come across where and how to book the tickets for this event.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you guys
thank
so
you
much
both.
For coming on today. It's going to be an amazing event, and, my mom says hi to you both.
Hi, Shirley.
Well, hello.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Again, thank you so much for having us on your show today. And, Sophia,
absolutely.
You know, my heart is always there. You know, for your success, your growth, you know, and, you know, and I always, you know, it's like, you know, you guys are more, it's like your family, you know, ever since I've known you. And I think that's why I got
absolutely.
Such a strong connection, you know.
Definitely.
But,
thank you, Harvey and Mary.
You betcha.
Thank you.
And, all right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Harvey and Mary were such great guests. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you listeners, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and as Mary said, to paranormalprotagonist.com, that's paranormalprotagonist.com. Great show, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.